Shall we open our Bibles, please, in the Gospel according to Luke, Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, the 10th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Just a few verses from the middle section of this chapter, beginning at verse number 17. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 17. And the 70, that is the 70 disciples, whom the Lord Jesus called. In addition to the 12, there were 70 disciples called by the Savior. And it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils, a better translation would be, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. There's only one devil, but there are many demons. Verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. And God will bless to our hearts this evening the public reading of Holy Scripture and this passage in particular. I want you to notice the setting in which our text this evening is found. These 70 disciples whom the Lord Jesus had sent out returned to the Lord Jesus with a glowing report. It was, if you like, a missionary report meeting. Now, I've got a friend who always says every time he goes to a missionary report meeting, he says it's like the day of the blowing of trumpets. He thinks, you know, that the missionaries are always blowing their trumpets about all that God is doing through them. Well, it seemed to be a wee bit like that in this occasion in Luke chapter 10. It was like the day of the blowing of trumpets. They were full of praise, and they were full of rejoicing. And they were saying to the Lord Jesus, even the demons, the spirits are subject unto us through thy name. We've seen wonderful things happening. They were taken up with these awesome, miraculous events that were transpiring. And the Lord Jesus just gently rebukes them. He says, rejoice, not because the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And the Lord Jesus shows that having our name written in heaven is something far more important than any of these great miraculous events that the disciples claim to see. Mind you, I think there's a very important lesson for us on that particular point before we launch into our subject this evening. So many people nowadays are interested in the sensational, the spectacular. Even amongst professing Christians, the ordinary things of Bible study and prayer and things of this nature are no longer sufficient for many Christians, and they're looking for spectacular events. They want to be able to speak in other tongues, so-called. They want to really practice the gift of healings. They want to be able to exercise the gift of exorcism, casting out evil spirits and things of this nature. And these are the sensational, spectacular type of things that seem to draw so many even professing Christians in the world this evening. And notice what the Lord Jesus is saying. Rejoice, not because the evil spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He's showing there's something far more important than the spectacular. Something far more important than the miraculous. Something far more important than the sensational. It's to have our names written in heaven. Rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven. But not only amongst many professing Christians, in the world today, men and women at large are anxious to find something sensational. And of course nowadays so many dabble in spiritism and things of this nature. They become occupied with the occult, and they really in many ways become completely immersed in seeking after the sensational. They want to contact their dead spirits. And these kind of things appeal to so many in the world today, and they're searching after the supernatural. Notice what the Lord Jesus is saying in our text. Rejoice, not because the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The Lord Jesus makes it a priority. He shows it's paramount in our lives as individuals to know our names written in heaven. And that's really the text that I want to bring to you this evening. The last phrase of verse number 20, rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven. Again, before we launch into our subject proper, let me point out that the Lord Jesus is emphasizing the importance of things belonging to heaven. Rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven. Many people today are anxious to make a name for themselves in this world. They want to become world famous. It might be in the realm of sport, for an example. Maybe someone is very athletic and they develop their athletic abilities and they become a superstar and they become household names across the world. You think of names like David Beckham. People like that who've become superstars, they've made a name for themselves in the realm of sport. It might not, of course, be the realm of sport. It might be the realm of entertainment. Nowadays, lots of young people have ambitions to become film stars. They want to become famous. They want to become rich and famous. And they think it's through Hollywood and through all the sort of glitz of showbiz and things of this nature. And let's face it, many young people do find success and they make a name for themselves in the realm of showbiz. And they become pop-up idols. They become occupied with so many young people across the world. Their posters are displayed in bedrooms all over the world. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. Rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven. It's not making a name for yourselves on earth that really matters. It's having your name written in heaven that really counts. But it might not be the realm of sport, nor even the realm of entertainment. It might be the realm of business and commerce. Maybe a young person with a business acumen and a clear brain becomes a business tycoon. Names like F.W. Woolworths and Marks and Spencers and many other names have become famous the world over. Not just in this country, but in other lands as well. They've become world famous. They've made a name for themselves as far as this world is concerned. But listen to what Christ says in our text. Rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven. What does it matter about fame and fortune? What does it matter about making a name in this world? How much more important to have our names written in heaven? Story is told of C.H. Spurgeon, the great preacher in London many, many years ago, and he was walking along the embankments of the River Thames. He saw some crows busy building their nests in a large oak tree. But he noticed that it was an oak tree that the woodmen, the tree surgeons, were in the process of cutting down. They'd got all their gear and they'd marked out where they were going to cut down this tree. And he thought to himself, there are these crows busy building their nests in a tree that's just about to be felled. And isn't that just like men and women in the world today? They want to make a name for themselves in this lifetime. We're only here for a few years. But they want to make fame and fortune as far as this world is concerned. But it's a world that's all doomed to disaster. Like the oak tree that Spurgeon saw. It was a tree that was doomed to disaster. It was about to be cut down. And the Bible tells us that the world and all that is in it is about to be brought to nothing. What's the point of making a name for ourselves in this world? How much more important to listen to the words of the Savior, rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven. There was a man in the Bible who could have made a name for himself in this world. His name is Moses. He was brought up in the Egyptian palace. He was the direct heir to the Egyptian throne. Fame and fortune lay in front of that young man. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have become world famous. His name could have been emblazoned in the books of history for all of time. But the Bible tells us that Moses, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, esteeming rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the boasted treasures of Egypt. And Moses turned his back on fame and fortune. And you might have said, Moses, don't you regret making that mistake? Don't you regret turning your back on the world's glory? Why, the day came when Moses was with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, and you might have said to him, wouldn't you have been better making a name for yourself in this world, Moses? Think about it. Here he was with the creator of the universe, the Son of God on the Mount of Transfiguration. All the boasted treasures and pleasures of Egypt counted for nothing. My dear friends, what a lesson for our hearts today. The Lord Jesus says in our text, rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven. Are we living for this world, or are we living for the world to come? Are we just living for the present, or are we living for the future? That's the point. Rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven. Now I want to select three simple headings for our subject this evening. I want us to think of the importance of having our name written in heaven. And the first point that I want us to notice is, it's something that should cause us to rejoice. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus says? He says, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. It's something that should cause us to rejoice. You know, the world sings their songs. They've got their pop songs. They've got all their seeming frivolity and all their pleasures. But you know, the world sings to make themselves happy. But the Christian sings because they are happy. We've something to sing about. We can rejoice that our names are written in heaven. The Bible tells the story of a young man who came from the land of Ethiopia. He was a politician. He was a very successful politician. He'd become what we might call today the chancellor of the exchequer of the land of Ethiopia. And he had travelled from his own country in Africa up to Jerusalem, seeking after the God of the Bible, the God of heaven. But you know, he couldn't find what he was looking for. And he was returning back to his own country, quite disillusioned. And he was sitting in his chariot with his servants all around him. And he was reading from the Old Testament part of the Bible. And you know, it so happened, or at least it appeared that way, that a Christian evangelist was passing just on his journey. And he heard this Ethiopian reading from the Old Testament scriptures in Isaiah 53. And this evangelist called Philip, he said to the Ethiopian man, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The man said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he invited Philip into the chariot to explain this Old Testament scripture. The Bible tells us how that Philip, he began at the same scripture and he preached unto him Jesus. He showed him that in Isaiah 53, the one who was the lamb led to the slaughter, dumb before his shearers, was none other than the Lord Jesus, who went to Calvary to give his life and to die as a ransom for sin. That Ethiopian listened carefully, and he responded to the preaching of Philip, and he obviously received Jesus Christ to be his own Saviour. And he saw water, and he says to Philip, he says, "See, here's water. What has hindered me to be baptized?" And Philip wanted to check, "Are you a believer? Are you really saved?" And he said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe." And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And after Philip came out of the water, the Spirit of God caught him away, and he wasn't seen until he arrived in Azotus. But nonetheless, we read about this Ethiopian eunuch, that he went on his way rejoicing. And you might ask me the question tonight, why was he rejoicing? Well, to borrow the language of our text in Luke chapter 10, he was rejoicing because his name was written in heaven. He was rejoicing that Christ was his Saviour. His sins were forgiven. He knew the Lord Jesus in a personal and in a real way in his life. And he could rejoice that his name was written in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? I wonder this evening if every one of us here in this gospel meeting can rejoice that our names are written in heaven. Let me give you another example in the Bible. There was a jailer in the great city of Philippi. He was obviously a very cruel, heartless kind of individual. He was totally godless. He didn't claim to be a Christian or anything like that. But you know, there were two Christian missionaries who were thrown into the dungeon where that jailer was. Their names were Paul and Silas. And I suppose the jailer took great pleasure in throwing these missionaries into this inner dungeon in the prison. And of course, that night he thought he was going to have a good night's sleep. But his night's sleep was disturbed. There was an earthquake. And everyone was wakened out of their sleep. And everyone was afraid because of the terror of this earthquake. And they heard the voices of the two missionaries, Paul and Silas, singing and praising God in the midst of a prison cell, praising God. And you remember the story of how that the jailer came to where these prisoners were, and he knew that if Paul and Silas had escaped from the prison, his life was forfeit. He would have been killed. And when he came into the dungeon where Paul and Silas were, they said, "Sir, do thyself no harm." He was about to draw his spear and plunge it into his heart and end his life and commit suicide. But you know, Paul and Silas said to him, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here. We're waiting for you to come." And that heartless, godless, Christless jailer cried out and said, "What must I do to be saved?" He had doubtless heard that Paul and Silas in Philippi were showing unto others the way of salvation. And he says, "I want to know, what must I do to be saved?" It's interesting to notice the personal note, isn't it? What must I do to be saved? He wasn't interested in the other jailers, plenty of the other criminals in the prison, plenty of other men that needed salvation there. But this man says, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas explain, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And the Bible tells us that that night, the jailer believed. And he believed with all his house. And the Bible says, he rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. He rejoiced. Why did he rejoice? Well, to borrow the language of our text, he was rejoicing because his name was written in heaven, just like that Ethiopian politician. So this jailer in Philippi, he had come to know salvation. He'd come to know forgiveness of his sin. He'd come to know Christ in a personal way, and that he could rejoice because his name was written in heaven. Again, I want to ask us all this evening, from the youngest in the meeting to the oldest in our gathering, do we know the joy of having our names written in heaven? Can we rejoice because our names are written in heaven? I want to assure you this evening, dear friends, the opposite of that is absolutely awful. I want to tell you, you'll never know real joy in your life until you know your name written in heaven. Let me prove this point to you. There was a young man who came to the Lord Jesus one day. He was a rich man. He was a young man. He was a very influential man. He was a ruler. We call him the rich young ruler. He was a fine specimen of humanity. He was very moral. He was very honest. He was very respectful. And he says to the Lord Jesus, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if someone in our meeting tonight was to ask that kind of question? What must I do to inherit eternal life? That rich young ruler realized that eternal life was far, far more important than material blessings. Eternal life was far more important than all the money and all the position and all the good living that he had to his credit. But you know, when the Lord Jesus answered his question, what must I do to have eternal life? He told him very clearly that he must sacrifice everything and follow the Savior if he wants eternal life. And you know, the Bible says that that young man, he turned his back on the Lord Jesus. He turned his back on the way of eternal life. He turned his back on the gift of salvation. But it adds this, he went away very sad. Very sad. Why was that rich young ruler sad? Well, dear friends, very simply because his name was not written in heaven. He couldn't rejoice because his name was written in heaven. Oh, he'd made a name for this world. He was rich. He was a ruler. He was influential. But he didn't have eternal life. And he couldn't rejoice because his name was written in heaven. I say to you, dear friend, this evening, if you leave this meeting unsaved, not knowing Christ as your Savior, you'll never be able to rejoice because your name is written in heaven. You'll leave this meeting like that young ruler, very sad. There'll be an emptiness in your life. You might have material things. You might have a name for yourself in this life. But you'll be very sad because your name is not written in heaven. Think about it this evening, dear friends. The Lord Jesus' words are very telling. And I want you to remember this first point. having our names written in heaven is something that causes us to rejoice. We here this evening in the audience who are Christians, we can rejoice because our names are written in heaven. But the second point that I want you to notice in the text is equally important. Having our names written in heaven is something that we can know here and now, presently, at this moment in time. Oh, you say, preacher, is that not being a little bit presumptuous? I mean, don't we have to wait until we stand before God to find out if our names are written in heaven? Is it not just that we try our hardest and do our best and we'll just wait and see what happens and we'll find out by and by in the future? No, dear friends, that's not what the Bible teaches. Notice what the Lord Jesus says in our text. He says, rejoice because your name are written in heaven. Notice he uses the present tense. He says, your names are. Not will be, not maybe, not even should be. But he says, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Maybe some of you are thinking, that's interesting. I didn't realize that that was something we could be sure about while we were still alive. Oh yes, dear friends, this is something we can have a guarantee about. We can know our names written in heaven. You might be saying to me, how could the Lord Jesus say that to these men? Rejoice because your names are written in heaven? Was it just that he had gone up to heaven to have a look at the book? To see if their names were written there? No, not at all. The Lord Jesus knew that these men had their name written in heaven because they were followers of him. They belonged to Christ. They were like the jailer in Philippi. They were like the politician from Ethiopia. They had repented of their sins. They had trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Their sins were forgiven. They were possessors of eternal life. And they could rejoice because their names are written in heaven. Some of you may have read in the book of Philippians, in your Bible, in the fourth chapter, Philippians chapter 4, in the New Testament. Paul is writing there to the Christians in the city of Philippi, and he speaks about two ladies called Euodias and Syntyche. I'm sure you ladies would have loved a nice name like that, wouldn't you? Euodias and Syntyche. And he speaks about Clement and others of his fellow labourers. And then he adds this, whose names are in the Book of Life. Now let me explain. The Book of Life is the register. The register of the names of all those who are Christians. These 70 disciples, their names were all written in the Book of Life. The day they got saved or the night they became a Christian, their names were written in the Book of Life. That jailer from Philippi, that Ethiopian politician, the day or night they got saved, their names were written in the Book of Life. And here was Euodias and Syntyche and he was Clement and others of Paul's fellow labourers, and Paul said, whose names will be? No. Whose names may be? No. He says, whose names are in the Book of Life. Paul didn't get any opportunity of having a look at the Book of Life to check the names. How did Paul know that the names were written in heaven? How did he know that? Was it because they went to the same church as Paul went to? Their names were on the church roll? Oh no, dear friends. You could have your name written in the church roll. and yet not written in the book of life. How did Paul know then that these people have their names in the book of life? Dear friends, the answer is very simple. There had been a moment in their lives when they trusted Christ. They had received God's salvation personally. They'd opened their lives to the Savior. They'd received the gift of salvation. And as Paul says, their names are in the book of life. Now it's just the same here in Luke chapter 10. The Lord Jesus is talking to these 70 disciples of his. And he says to them, rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. I just want to pause here for a second. I want to ask you a question. Have you got that assurance tonight? Have you got that certainty this evening that your name is written in heaven? Dear friends, you could have it. It's not a matter of doing good works. It's nothing to do with good works. It's nothing to do with anything that we can personally be involved in. It's simply through trusting Christ. No merits of ours. It's all based on the merits of Christ. I want you to notice, dear friends, the reason why we can have assurance that our names are written in the book of life is very simple. It's simply this. The Bible, in another passage in the book of Revelation, refers to the book of life as the book of life of the Lamb. The book of life of the Lamb. The Lamb's book of life. And you might be saying, that's a strange expression. What does that mean? Who's the Lamb? Well, it's referring to the Lord Jesus. We've mentioned already the book of Isaiah chapter 53. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. You remember again John the Baptist on the banks of the river Jordan. He pointed out the Lord Jesus and said, behold, look, the Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world. He went to Calvary as the Lamb of God's providing. And dear friends, it's the book of life of the Lamb. John Campbell's name is not written in the book of life of the Lamb because of anything that he has done. John Campbell's name is written in the book of life of the Lamb because of what the Lamb of God did for him at Calvary. My pathway to heaven, my passport to heaven, is simply this. I am a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. And the basis, dear friends, of which my name is written in heaven is because of the death of the Lamb of God at Calvary. Have you got it? That's why we can know with certainty. It's not based on anything that we do. It's based on what the Lamb of God has done for us at Calvary. That brings me to the last little point in our text this evening. I hope you can remember the first two. Number one, having our name written in heaven is something that causes us to rejoice. Number two, having our name written in heaven is something we can be sure of here and now. But the last point is equally important. And I want you to listen as we conclude our message. Having our names written in heaven will guarantee eternal salvation from the lake of fire. The Bible tells us, dear friends, in the book of Revelation, of what is going to happen in the future. When you you get home this evening, I want you to turn in your Bible to the third last chapter of your Bible, Revelation, in chapter number 20. In that chapter, the writer John, the Apostle John, he's given a vision. A very interesting vision. It's a revelation of what's going to happen in the future. In that vision, he sees a throne. But it's no ordinary throne. It's a great white throne. You say, why? Why that? Well, it's great because it's the greatest throne of the universe. There's no appeal to any higher throne. There's no higher assize that you can appeal to. In this country, if someone doesn't like the decision that the jury or the judge makes in a particular case, they can refer to a higher court. They can refer their case to a European court. But dear friend, there's no higher court than the assize of God. It's a great white throne. Will you think about that this evening? You say, why? What's the significance of it being white? It describes the purity of the justice that will stem from that throne. White is all the emblem of purity. In this world, we hear about many miscarriages of justice. Many people who are wrongly condemned, while all the time totally innocent. And other people who are released as innocent when all the time it's patently clear that they're guilty. Many, many miscarriages of justice. Let me tell you, dear friends, there won't be any miscarriage of justice at the bar of God. It's a great white throne. Think about it. And then in that vision, John says, the dead, small and great, stood before that throne. That's interesting. What does that mean? People who are 5'1" and others who are 6'10"? No, not that at all. Small and great? Oh, just the small, insignificant people. Others who are mighty and influential, great, important people. Maybe you're sitting here tonight, dear friends, and you're saying, I'm just an ordinary individual. I'm nothing special. I'm not anybody important. Surely God won't judge me. Listen to what the text says. The dead, small and great, stood before that throne. No one is so important to avoid it. Could I say it reverently? Our Queen, if she's not a Christian, she will have to stand before that throne. The dead, small and great, will stand before that throne. And then John says, and the books were opened. The books? What books? There'll be a number of books opened. The record of our lives will be opened. You say, does God have a record of my life? Yes, dear friends, God has a record of your life. He's got a record of everything in your life. Secret sins. Maybe things that you've long since forgotten. Maybe things that you've long since swept under the carpet. God has a record of them all. And the books will be opened. He tells us in the Bible, every idle word that men speak, they'll give account thereof on the day of judgment. The dead, small and great, standing before that throne. And the books were opened. And the record of your life is unveiled. How embarrassing that will be for so many of us. The books will be opened. But I believe also the Bible will be opened. I believe that God's Word will be opened in that day. The books will be opened. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, doesn't the Lord Jesus tell us about that in John chapter 12? He says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The very word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. How clear these words are. The Bible will be opened as evidence against us. The books will be opened. The record of your life will be unveiled. The scriptures will be unveiled. But then it says, and another book was opened. Another book? What is that? The book of life. And this is what it says in Revelation chapter 20. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How searching that is. Whosoever, does that include that rich young ruler? Could that include you this evening? If you're not a Christian, whosoever is not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Oh, you say, preacher, surely you don't believe in a literal lake of fire? Well, dear friends, we don't have much alternative. You can't cut it out of your Bible. It's there in plain teaching in the scriptures. The Lord Jesus spoke about it on numerous occasions. And dear friends, not to have our name written in the book of life will mean that we'll be cast into outer darkness for all eternity. This is why we urge you this evening, come to know the Saviour. Come and trust him. Bow low in his presence tonight. Accept him as your Saviour. Know the blessing of sins forgiven. Know the blessing of eternal life. And you'll be able to take the language of our text this evening and rejoice, rather, because your names are written in heaven. May God bless this one. Let's pray. Father, we do thank thee for the privilege that has been ours of reading out of the Bible. We've been thinking of that occasion when these 70 disciples came to the Saviour. And we thank thee for the words of the Lord Jesus, rejoice rather, because your names are written in heaven. Father, it's our earnest desire this Sunday evening that everyone in our little gathering here will have the absolute assurance that here and now their names are in the book of life. We ask thee to bless thy word to this end. Speak to every heart. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.